Welcome to the Bring the Wood podcast. It's your boy RK. I'm rocking with John Barnes, the man, the myth, the legend. What's going on, my friend?
Ryan, I believe you are the man, the myth, the legend, because you have two eyes in your name. Come on, now. I've never met a Ryan with two eyes in his name.
So, well, then you never met me that was born in the 80s.
As an 80s baby myself. Look, you know, I think me and you, Ryan, were like kindred spirits because, you know, there's a ton of Jonathans and there's a ton of Ryans, but there's only one Jono and there's only one Ryan with two eyes. So.
Yeah, I always laugh. My mom was having some fun. You know, them drugs that they gave her to have me must have been making her feel nice when she thought about that name spelling.
Yeah, so. She was like, what's the name of the baby? She was like, make it a Ryan with two eyes. She probably said it so smooth, too. I was there when it happened.
She probably thinking she's real smart, too, acting fresh. Like, can't you sound it out? Ryan.
Shout out to your moms, Ryan.
Yeah, shout out to moms for sure, for sure. Well, I guess there's a lot of people that we don't get to hear a lot from you. We see all the parodies and the skits and stuff like that, but how'd you get started, man? Because all the stuff you put on is fire on Twitter, and people they gravitate to you now. So how did you get started? What's the motivation for what you've been doing?
Well, first off, Ryan, I appreciate that, because I always tell myself with every skit, I say, they're not all going to be first-round draft picks, okay? So sometimes I know that, you know, some of them may not hit as hard as other ones, but that kind of brings me to the start of it. It was that I always wanted to make content, and I just never did for various reasons. And I would have a lot of nights where, you know, I'd be in bed, and that's when your mind is racing the most. And I was like, well, what if I had started my content creation back in 2010 or 2015 or even 2018 or 19? Where would I be now? So The pandemic kind of opened up an opportunity. I'm working from home now, so I have a lot more flexibility with my free time since I'm not traveling as much to commuting to work. And I say, hey, Jono, if there's ever a time you're going to do it, this is probably the time that you want to give it a shot. And the main thing is you can't be afraid to fail. And that's what I tell myself every time I do a skit, is do not be afraid to fail. Because I think that's one of the things that holds a lot of people back with getting into the content creation game, is that, you know, they're afraid of failure. Which brings me to my point of, you know, I tell myself as a jokingly, they're not all going to be first round draft picks. So like some skits I do, I realize may not be as popular or do the engagement or numbers as other ones, but I told myself from the get go to not be afraid to fail. When I started, you know, I started saying, oh, I'm going to do Saints comedy content. I knew I wanted to do Saints comedy content because I'm a very diehard passionate fan. But I also wanted to do other things like vlogs and reaction videos and just general comedy skits. So on my YouTube, if you visit it, youtube.com/JonoBones, it's not just Saints skits. Now, don't get me wrong. The Saints skits are obviously what's taking me to heights that I did not imagine I would get when I started out. But I'm a little bit surprised that, you know, we have so many great Saints voices in our community, including you, Ryan. But nobody ever really, you know, took on the Saints from a comedic angle. And I'm like, well, shoot, we have a team that is a content creator's dream as far as feeding us content with the comedy idea. So I said, you know, I don't know if I'm the funniest guy in the world, but I'm going to do something a little different than some of the other Saints content creators, and I'm going to put a comedic approach to it. You know, I grew up on In Living Color. I grew up on Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
Shows like that. So I said, what if, you know, I just added a Saints spin to it along with the other content that I created. And long story short, you know, I started out in April, like literally April of 2021 is when I started doing this content creation with my YouTube and Twitter. And one of my first skits I did was how Saints fans are doing the NFL draft, because, you know, Saints fans doing the NFL draft suddenly turned into the experts. Even though Saints fans, some of them don't watch a college game once, but they know what's a good pick and they know what's a bad pick. So that was my motivation behind that. Yeah. That one kind of took off, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, I think I have something here. I think Saints fans can relate to the comedic aspect of it. And again, long story short, here we are in November, and I've just been doing Saints skits since then, and I'm so blessed that the Who Dat Nation and New Orleans Twitter and Louisiana Twitter and Saints Twitter has taken a liking to it, and it's shown me so much love, because it's been an extreme blessing to watch just the success I've had since then. So it started in April, Ryan, and it's been full systems ahead since then.
Yeah, and it's hilarious, because when you do some of these things, and I find myself to be, like, I'm out in Winnipeg, Canada. I grew up with a family member that lived out in Lafayette, so when they would come to visit, and I was a little kid, they'd be talking about the Saints all the time, and I'd be like, who? You know what I mean? Because in Canada, we don't watch a lot, especially back in the early, you know, the early 2000s, late 90s. There's not a whole lot of Saints on TV here, right? So I just became a Saints fan, and I love the fact that they weren't good. You know what I mean? I really love the fact they had a black quarterback as well. Like, for me, I was like, yeah. You know, like Aaron Brooks, yeah, I'm with that. I can ride with that, you know? And then Blake, and I'm like, yeah, I like this squad, you know? And then Boo Williams, and I'm like, name like Boo? Like, I can rock with that. So as a kid, I was just like, I stayed diehard, and like, I'm a very passionate human being. So when I cheer for my team, good, bad, or ugly, I'm like that parent that's got that ugly kid that like, nah, but he's cute if you look at him like this, you know? Like, it's just...
If you look at his inside features, you know? You see the inside of him.
Yeah.
Ryan, I think me and you are... So, obviously, I think me and you are 83. Like, I'm 83. We're probably of the same age trajectory. I'm not going to make you put your age out there. But, yeah, I grew up on, like, the Aaron Brooks era was kind of the era where I was, like you, probably mature enough to, like, start understanding football more. Like, from a serious, like, you know, from concepts, from how the offenses ran, how the defenses ran. So, like, that era was the era that I became, like, casual. You know, like, you're young, so you're a casual Saints fan to a diehard fan. And I was lucky to, like, get in right away when they had the first playoff win. And then after that, we had a ton of heartbreaks after we never were able to, like, recapture that success, unfortunately. And then we entered the glory era with Drew Brees and Sean Payne. So I think me and you follow the same trajectory as far as, you know, our level of fandom with the New Orleans Saints. I think it's real cool, though, that, you know, I'm obviously from New Orleans, so it's ingrained in me. You from Canada, it's not necessarily ingrained in you, so I think it's awesome that you became a Saints fan while you are miles and miles apart away from New Orleans.
And I've been there 13 times, and trust me, I would be there as many times as I possibly could. I'd have season tickets if I could afford it, but that's just not in the cards just yet. But, yeah, like, again, when you're doing your content, I laugh because I said all that to say this. Like, all those things you talk about in your skit and you're doing, I'm laughing because I've been doing them. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, no, they ain't going to do this. Nope, they're going to win it. Oh, we're garbage. Oh, wait, no, we back in it. Like, with that skit, I'm like, I've done that exact, you know, song and dance in real life that you did in your skit. I'm just like, oh, man, this is just, it's just this golden.
Man, thank you so much. I think that one thing that the skits do bring alongside just the comedic value is that people can relate to it. Relatability is huge with fan bases, and I think that a lot of Saints fans can relate to the stuff that I put out for the New Orleans Saints. And I use a comedic touch to it because, man, Ryan, as you know, the past 4 years have been the most heartbreaking that any fan base can ever experience. So
you mean 11? You mean 11 years?
Well, yeah, you know, you know.
You know, 2010, 2010, say, 2010 is some, never. I have nightmares.
Some would say, well, you know, and that's the funny thing. Some would say it started with the, you know, the Beastquake, but the Beastquake was coming off the Super Bowl year, so it didn't hit me as hard as the next year, which was Alex Smith to Vernon Davis. That hit me hard, and I thought, oh man, we'll never be able to, you know, experience a pain like that. And then, of course, we had 2017, and then you think, oh, we will never top that. And then
I was at that game.
Which one, the Minnesota Miracle?
I was there. So my homie was sitting in front of me, and like, he's like my diehard. He was at my wedding party, and he booked the flights to Philly when we scored. He's like, we're going to Philly. And he's like, he's just chatting it up, and I didn't smile. I didn't do anything. I'm just standing there watching the clock. I'll never forget it.
You knew.
I just felt like the oh, man.
I'll tell you my story with that Minnesota Miracle. It was me and all my family. We had a party for the game, of course. And so, you know, we made this incredible comeback. And now we're all still on edge, but some of my aunties were already playing a Saints Go All The Way. And we were like, y'all, chill, chill. The show got like a minute left. So they turned it on, you know, then they could serve the final play, which was the Minnesota Miracle. And I remember Kirk Cousins. I'm thinking the 2020 now. Case Keenum threw the ball, and while it was in the air, my dad, for whatever reason, I don't know if he thought that it was about to be, he saw Marcus Williams away, so he thought that it was going to be an easy, you know, bat down or whatever. He was like, yeah! And then the next thing you see is Stephon Diggs running down the sideline. Oh. And it was just the, you know, you could, a run for the, it was about 30 to 40 people, and you could hear a pin drop. It was pretty, pretty bad. And then, you know, you think, oh, nothing will ever get worse than that. And then the next year, I was at the NFC Championship game. The no call happens, and then after that, referee didn't throw the flag, it was like,
yeah, but that, you know what,
the, even going into overtime where we still had a chance, but it was, yeah, like, nah, you know, the energy was just stripped out, and it was like, oh my god, this is actually happening, like, we're probably going to lose this game because the NFL referees didn't make the most obvious call of, yeah, all time.
I would say Warford, and the way that Warford and Pete played though against that, in that game at home when we're 8.5 point favorites, like, we deserve to lose that game. Even if we would have found a way to win, I thought we were dog shit that game. And you know what I mean, like, that's the one that doesn't hurt me, when Kyle Rudolph pushed off. You know what I mean? That, like, I know he pushed off, and it is what it is. But we played, that was one of the worst performances by a Sean Payton playoff team ever. You know, oh, what, yeah, I mean? Like, oh, I thought that was, Drew was dog shit. The offensive line, they should have gave their game check up. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's playoffs, they don't get one, but
yeah,
whatever. Like, it was just bad. It was just bad. It was
so,
all bad.
No, so I was actually referring to the championship game. But I was,
oh, okay.
No, but I was the 2019 game tonight. That one didn't hurt as much as 2017 and 18. But yeah, no, that was also a poor game. And the crazy thing is, we still had a shot, right? Like, mm-hmm, you know, that's a testament, I guess, to the talent level we had the past few years, is that we played like dog crap, and we still, honestly, probably should have won if Drew Brees didn't. And I heard Granny, like, yeah, you say, the offensive line played horrible. So, you know, and like, Drew Brees is Lamar Jackson, where once he gets pressure in the space, he can bounce off it. So once that fumble happened, it was like, oh, well, you know, that was probably our chance to sneak this win, and we still found a way to
I got a question for you. Just segue into this right now, because you're talking about it perfectly. And this is something that I like to talk to people, especially people that have a love for the game and have a love for the Saints, because I know it's going to be a bit of a biased opinion, but you still watch the game. You see a lot of it. Did Drew really mask an average offensive line into a great offensive line because of how talented he was and how prepared he was and how smart he was? And then, like, those performances where you see him and he's, like, fumbling the ball in that Minnesota game, you know what I mean? Trying to make something happen because the pressure is coming from inside against Warford and Pete. Like, did Drew just make that offensive line look really good because he was so good? Because now we see the offensive line look average, like,
right,
every week.
But I want to say it because I don't want to feel like I'm picking on offensive line. I think Drew made everybody look better. You know what, mm-hmm, I mean? Like, mm-hmm, yeah, Drew probably could have made the current receiving core we have now look better, because he's an all-time Hall of Famer, top 5 quarterback of all time, in my, mm-hmm, opinion. So top, no matter three, who we replace him with, mm-hmm, hey, no argument from me, my man. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, as good, and I think James has been good, I think Trevor Siemian has actually been pretty darn, you know, good for the situation he's in. But they're not going to make the O-line or the wide receiver core look better than it is, because they're not Hall of Fame elite quarterbacks. And that's, mm-hmm, what I think that a lot of Saints fans lost. You know, everybody was ready for Drew to retire because, obviously, he didn't have the same arm strength that he already had. But I said, well, okay, yeah, we're going to get some of that, you know, the long deep bombs back with Jameis Winston, but we're not going to have that QB IQ that
the poise,
you take for granted with a guy, yeah, like Drew Brees, or like the guy who can change the calls and help the O-line, or the guy, mm-hmm, who can put his wide receivers in better spots to make plays, because he's an elite all-time quarterback. And I think Saints fans are so spoiled with that, and I think they can kind of get a rude awakening with that. And I think the Saints fans are spoiled with Sean Payton, because a lot of fans complain about Sean Payton. I'm like, dude,
shut up. I don't listen to it.
There's probably like 28 teams that would love to have Sean Payton as their coach. I'm like, you guys really going to, you know, we might one day, people always say, oh, this is rock bottom for the Saints this season. I'm like, dude, we're 5-4, and we shouldn't have no business being 5-4, to be honest. Y'all don't know what rock bottom is, and we might actually have rock bottom one day. Y'all going to wish for the days that we had an old Drew Brees.
Yeah, I was going to say, they want to know what rock bottom is. Ask them how we got Reggie Bush, okay? Because that year before that, that's rock bottom. Exactly. You want to know what that rock bottom is? When Ernie Conwell is your number one receiver.
Right. Isn't it amazing that, like, a lot of fans, like, only know the Drew Brees?
It's crazy. It's crazy. we had Nick Underhill and Kevin Washington on the pod last year, and we were talking about that, and it's like, they don't understand. Like, I'm not an old man. This isn't a get off the lawn moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like a real moment. Like, you can look at people that are in their 20s, and they're like, what are you talking about? The Saints have always been an elite franchise. And you're like, you don't understand. It wasn't. Right. It was in the 2000s.
Right, me and you, we weren't even, you know, mature or grown enough yet for the bad days. So, like, what our parents had to go through with Benny Joe Tonga and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So I always count my blessings with the New Orleans Saints. Now, right quick, to give you a direct answer, I still do think, though, honestly, I think our offensive line is good. I think that Drew Brees made them go from good to great / elite, whereas now they are probably just solid to good. Ruiz has a lot of struggles, obviously. Ramchak isn't having his usual dominant.
That was the player. That was the player I was going to ask you about.
I'm still not I don't want to, like, wash my hands with them and say, oh, well, they're just not good. I still think they're good. I actually read an article from, I believe his name is Brandon Straw. He does a lot of work with Nick Underhill. He evaluates offensive lines. And he had us as the number two offensive line in the league behind. And this is like a midseason report behind Tampa Bay's offensive line. So I still want to say our offensive line is good. It's just not up to the standard that we're used to because Drew Brees masked so much of the small deficiencies that we now see because we don't have that leadership or that quarterback IQ to kind of keep everything in order.
I agree, and I do believe that they're probably one of the best well-coached units in the league because one guy goes down, two guys go down, three guys go down, and we're still able to protect the quarterback and perform. The one part that is starting to really bother me, though, and I know in pass protection our offensive line is pretty good. I would say actually borderline elite. But in the run game, we're seeing a bit of a deficiency in our run game. And it's not because we don't have talent in the backfield running the ball, but it's about our power. You know, like people like to they like to crush on Pete, and I'm one of the first people to crush on Pete. When we gave him the money, you know, like I was talking with Deuce Windham, and he was going through, and you know, he's kind of like, I feel like I'm name dropping. I ain't trying to do that, but you know what I mean, like but he was talking
Brian,
about
you
how
you can't name drop when you got John O'Bones on it. So this is
the game. There you go, there you go. But he was just saying, like, he's like, name me five better left guards in the NFL. And I struggle. Like, I don't know people's offensive line like that, but then I started going through it and looking at PFF grades and, you know, just all the, you know, statistical analysis that would rate these guys, and I couldn't find guys that were better than them. So I'm like, is it just like you hate the ones that you love? You know what I mean? Is that what I'm feeling? But
absolutely, Ryan.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting right now because I got a bunch of questions I want to ask you, and I could sit here and talk about this all day because it's a really contentious point. For Saints fans, because we have been spoiled.
Brian, what Barry, I don't want
to. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. It's your day, man. Let's go.
You made a great point. And that's, you know, as fans, you always think that the grass is greener on the other side. You know, there's probably fan bases that wish they had our offensive line, you know, but we're always going to pick on our offensive line because, you know, fans are going to be fans, and we're all guilty. We're going to pick on players who probably aren't as bad as we think they are.
Adam Troutman.
Whereas sometimes we're going to hype up players who aren't as good as we think they are. You know,
Adam Troutman.
I don't even want to hear that name right now. It's a catch 22. So I absolutely get your point. You know, I think that's probably every fan base, but we only know our circle of Saints fans, so it seems more prevalent. But I'm sure every fan base has, like, the fanatics that, you know, thinks that, oh, there's always something better out there when it's probably, you know, not as bad as we make it out to be. Also, sometimes it's not as good as we make it out to be.
Adam Troutman is a topic that every like I listen to. So I have a commute every morning, and you know, I bump a bunch of different podcasts. Actually, I just started listening to this podcast, Datitude. You know who runs that? Datitude. It's what's his name? He works with Jeff Duncan over at NOLA.com. Anyways, I can't.
Larry Holder?
No, not Larry Holder. Not Larry Holder. I know Larry. It's a gentleman. I don't know his name. I'll find it for you right now. But he actually had some really good takes, and like it made me step back because I hear the same takes all the time. Like, I listen to Ralph Marlborough and the Saints Happy Hour because I get a good chuckle, and Andrew Juge
Ralph's good.
I call Andrew Juge Diet Pepsi Nick Underhill. You know what I mean? Like he's Nick without the flair of what Nick does. But he has like a bunch of, you know, insight, and like really he gets in the building as well, right? Right. The guy's name is Jim Derry.
Jim Derry sounds very familiar. I'm not like a big, I don't want to say fan, but you know, like follow him, but I do know that name sounds very familiar.
So Jim Derry runs a podcast. He sounds a little dry, but some of his takes were really interesting. So I was listening to his takes, and he was talking about Troutman, and I felt like he was talking to me because I was talking to a friend of mine because he was like, yo, Troutman's trash, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, this is essentially a second-year guy. Rookie tight ends have zero impact in the NFL on a regular basis. Like, that's the hardest position to have an impact and be a star at in the NFL as a rookie. He had production, which was fantastic that he had production, so we had these expectations of him extrapolating, you know, and, like, having this breakout season. And that comes from being Saints fans. So, like, when you burn hot when it's good, and when you burn hot bad, you burn hot when it's bad with the passion of this fan base. So the minute Troutman starts having a little bit of hiccups, and trust me, it's a little bit of hiccups. Like, I know they keep on coming weekly, but they're a little bit of hiccups. And the catch he made in Atlanta, you know, head over heels, and holding on to the ball. And you know, he's beat up. The guy's not like out there and not prepared. You can see in his face. The guy looks like he is devastated because the fan base is killing him and he's feeling it. That's why he's making these mistakes. I think it's snowballing on the guy because he's talented and he's a young kid. He's a second year guy. It's not like he's not talented. So everybody's, let me finish. I promise I'll let you jump in here. But like everybody's killing this guy. Everybody's killing this guy, right? Same way they want to kill this kicker. Do you know who, and this is the take I took from Jim Derry. He goes, you want to kill the kicker? How about you kick the people that have kept him? Because who are you bringing in right now? Who are we bringing in as a tight end right now that's better than Troutman? Like, this is who we got. The person who took you to the dance is who you got right now. So instead of breaking him down and be like, man, kill this guy. We're 5-4 without our Hall of Fame quarterback, without our backup to the Hall of Fame quarterback, playing Trevor Siemian, who's our four-string quarterback, in effect of what we were actually doing. Because we're hoping Drew, if Drew would have came back, we would have been salty a bit, but we're riding with Drew. Right, Jameis would have been 2, Taysom would have been 3, Trevor Siemian would have been 4. Drew retires, okay, Jameis is 1, Taysom is 2, Trevor's 3. Jameis gets hurt, Taysom's got a concussion, so de facto, we got Siemian. And now you got these guys stepping in, playing with a third-string quarterback, and they're making some mistakes, and the team's kind of in flux without a wide receiver that's not undrafted. And then we want to kill the kid that's not supposed to, he's not supposed to be our number one guy and producing. You know, we're asking him to do the Josh Hill stuff and the Jimmy Graham stuff. And I think that's a lot to ask of this kid. So that's my diatribe, you know, paired in with Jim Derry stuff, because I'm getting irritated with all the Saints fans killing this guy. But tell me something. You were going to say something, right?
I was just going to say, is this a bad time to say I might have a skit making fun of Troutman?
Hey, no, do your thing, man. And I'm probably going to laugh at you. I'm probably going to laugh at it, too, because I'm cussing his ass out, too, when I'm watching the games. But I know that he's young. You know what I mean? I know that he's young, and it can't get much worse.
It is a fine line in comedy. Like, I have some ideas about Troutman skits, but right now, as of now, I'm not going to do it. Because background on me, Ryan, I worked for the New Orleans Pelicans for 13 seasons. I was a ball boy for the team. So
okay.
I kind of got an inside scoop on how these athletes are. So it kind of took away some of that fanatic, I don't know if this is even a word, fanaticism from me, where like, I said, oh wait, these are actually human beings, so I'm not as comfortable now saying, this guy's trash, or blah, 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 because I have an inside look now on how these guys, you know, preparing, like, they're trying their best, like, you know, it's not like these guys are, you know, just saying, oh, screw it, you know, whatever, I'll just come in and collect my paycheck. So I always, with my comedy skits, like, you know, because I never know who's watching, you know, I'm not acting like I'm this big star where Saints players take their time out there to see every skit that I put, but I always kind of try to ask myself, am I teetering the line on making fun of them and like actually hurting feelings, or am I just like trying to have fun with it? So for Troutman, like, there's some ideas I have, but I'm like, I don't want to like make it seem like we're like pouting on the guy. Like, for me, it's all entertainment, so that's something that I struggle with, like, because I want to have fun with it, but I also don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to send fans to attack the guy, you know what I'm saying? Now, granted, in a spot like the NFL, it comes with the territory. Like, you got to be ready. Like, if you decide you want to be a professional athlete, you're going to get spooked by people or whatever. So it comes with the territory. But I try to, like, keep it as, I guess, respectful as possible and hope that every player that I parody, because I made fun of Jameis Winston a lot. Now, that was all in love. Like, I was a huge shit. But some fans, you know, because Jameis has a very, very crazy fan base, apparently.
It's wild.
And they were like, some of them would get like mad at me, and I'm like, yo, I'm actually like chill. I'm not like acting like Jameis is a clown. Like, I'm just having fun with it. Like,
but he is a clown, though. He is a clown. Jameis Hype doesn't get it. Like,
he was a dream come true for me. Like, he just fed me skits to do. I was like, this guy is awesome.
My man's eyes when he tried to cuss Traquan out, and then Traquan stepped to him, and his eyes got big, and he backed up and realized that was real.
That was great. But Ryan, to your point, and you actually had retweeted some of my tweets from Sunday, because I agree with you, and you agree with me. I was like, fans, y'all need to embrace the 2021 New Orleans Saints. Oh. Like, no, there is no wide receiver out there that we're going to sign off the street and magically fix our ass. There's no tight end out there. There's no kicker. Like, one of the tweets that a lot of fans kind of got on me for was, I was like, guys, what's the point of cutting Brian Johnson if this is our third or fourth kicker? Like, obviously, like, if there was a great kicker out there, we would have signed him by now. So if we cut him and then we sign Joe Blow from down the block, he's probably going to miss kicks. So at this point, like, do you just ride with what you got, and you just you know, face what you have. I did see we signed some kickers to the practice squad. So
yeah,
I think Sean Payne is trying, you know, his job as a coach is like, I got to at least, like, show accountability and make these guys, you know, put in an effort to say, look, your job is not safe just because, you know, there may not be better out there. But I do agree with you, Ryan, that if fans would just, you know, put their expectations to the side and embrace what this 2021 season is, and it probably helped me that I didn't go into the season with any expectations whatsoever. I actually thought we wasn't going to be a playoff team. So the fact that we're 5-4 has me doing cartwheels.
Yeah.
So if they embrace it, the season could be a lot more fun. Like, I'm having fun with this season. I'm 100%. Like, dude, we're 5-4 with Trevor Siemian at quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's enjoy the ride.
And Trevor's playing good. Playoffs,
Trevor's been pretty good.
Yeah.
If we make the playoffs, great. Like, shoot, this is supposed to be a rebuilding year, and we're still making the playoffs. So imagine we actually...
Without Jameis.
More talent.
Without Jameis.
Without Michael Thomas, without Will Lutz, like,
and missing.
I tell Saints fans, I'm like, there was a reason why we panicked in the offseason when when Michael Thomas and Will Lutz got hurt, because we knew those were going to be big losses.
Yeah.
So why are we so shocked now that we're having wide receiver kicker issues? Like, we knew this was coming. I don't get why you guys are so emotional about it.
Yeah, it's like
you
they forget.
You should have prepared yourselves for
it. It's like they forget reading the press clippings from before. You know what I mean? Like, it was all in front of us. Garrett Hartley was working over at Tulane Stadium, kicking 64 yarders.
Hartley is, I know, but 10 years removed from the game.
He's been kicking, though.
Newton
he's been.
Cam Newton just came back, so maybe this is the year of reunions. You got
And I got a skit for you.
What's the skit?
Garrett Hartley gets signed back because Brian Johnson rolls his ankle and Brett Maher gets back spasm. So we sign Garrett Hartley. Garrett Hartley kicks an extra point and gets a 15-yard penalty, running to the camera saying, I'm back. And you could hack that crap up.
Do you want any money from that school?
Nah, man, I do it for the love. I do it for the love.
Hey, maybe this is all setting up for ultimately, like you said, Drew Brees to make his grand comeback in December.
Oh, if Drew came back now, it would be a breath of fresh air.
I wouldn't mind. I'd be like, well, shoot, he only needs to play for 1 month. Maybe he gets hot in December.
Six games?
Yeah.
And his preparation? Drew's a maniac. He's a maniac.
If I was playing, I would just like kind of like poke at him like maybe every other week and be like, hey, you know, what if, you know, January, you know, we might need you to come in and just, you know, get one final run with the crowd. Like, at least come out and get one final ovation that you deserve and not in an empty stadium. So,
where's Drew living right now? Is he still living in New Orleans?
I believe he is in California.
San Diego? Yeah, because he got a place up there. If I was Sean Payton, I would pay, like, I'd get Mickey Loomis to throw me, like, $1 million. And then I would say, listen, I'm using this million to recruit Drew. And you just send, like, a practice squad of receivers over to Drew's house, like, prepped up and ready. Be like, hey, man, let's go just throw the ball around. You know, and just like, subtly, just be like, we're keeping you in shape because we're going to take you for the last four games of the season, and we're making one last run. We're going to let you get your send-off from the Superdome, you know, with the fans, because you never got a send-off, and that would just be...
He could send me, Ryan. I'll do some routes for Drew. I'm not that bad.
I want to see it. Okay, go ahead.
Besides Deuce in 2000, I mean, obviously Deuce didn't play, but maybe we do the same thing with Drew. You just never know, Ryan. You just never know.
Yeah, you never know, especially this season. I don't know about you, but this NFL season, I'm here for the roller coaster. I said it after week five. There's just too many crazy things happening. You know what I mean? A 66-yard field goal. Refs making egregious calls everywhere around the NFL. I'm not one of those people that's going to argue with the refs. I've been hurt too much. You know what I mean? It's like being in a domestic relationship. You cut me up in my eye one more time, it's not going to do nothing. I just got to clean it up now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
what is it? Bad at wife syndrome. We keep coming back even though we know what it's going to lead to.
We're going to change. But we could change him.
And you know what's funny, Ryan? Is that this week actually makes the halfway point. So imagine that we haven't even reached the halfway point yet.
Yeah. And
we're added the 17 games.
Yeah, so. 6-4. 6-4, man. We get to 6-4. We're going to talk about that Philly game. But before we get to Philly game, I got this game I play when I have, like, you know, esteemed guests like yourself on my podcast. It's called the Touchdown Answer. So you got to go 7 words or less, okay? There's no speed on it, so you can think it through, okay?
7 words or less. That's a tall task for me, but go ahead.
All right. Our season outlook.
In 7 words or less, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make playoffs and live with the result.
Okay, I like it. Okay. The Tennessee review. Review the Tennessee game in 7 words or less.
Referees suck, and Troutman must be better. Now I know, like you just did the whole.
I hear you.
Hey, but look, and I was with you with the Troutman thing, but that penalty for the 2-point conversion,
yeah,
you deserve tough. For that. Like you gotta be better than that, my man.
For sure. But you know what? Hurst also took one earlier. Like, lots of guys were all over the place. And Sean's play calling. There was 8 minutes left in that game. And Sean's play calling, you know, inside the 10-yard line. Like, Sean's got to take some heat for that. We're inside the 10-yard line. There's 8 minutes left. We're down 2 scores. You can't be fooling around with some of them play calls you had. You know what I mean? Like, you really, really got to press the envelope. And we got to get Trevor Siemian out of the huddle. Anyways. All right, next one. Two biggest blames for the New Orleans Saints this season.
Injuries and referees.
Oh, dang, okay.
Two words for that.
The Bucks' possible collapse is
going to be so, so sweet.
I actually think they're going to lose to the Giants on Monday night.
I don't. They're going to get it together. But, Ryan,
Their secondaries are trash.
They're not as good as they think, but you never count out Tom Brady. But I will say this. I did those Buccaneers fans leading up to our game against them. And it's all in fun. But, you know, a lot of fans are just starting to discover me because, again, I just started in April. So nobody has, like, an idea for my quote-unquote brand. And, oh, boy, they had a lot of Buccaneers fans at my net. They had a lot. So winning that game might be my Super Bowl this year because we were able to beat them. And even if they do go and win the Super Bowl again this year, which I hope they don't, I'm going to still be able to say, hey, y'all lost to Trevor Siemian and Kevin White, so get out of my face.
And if we sweep them, if we go to Tampa Bay and Trevor Siemian beats them twice, like Taysom beat Atlanta last year twice, everybody in the division just got to be quiet. Carolina can just sit there and be like, well, we beat you guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's how the division's going to look because Tampa can't say nothing at that point. But, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Our biggest positives going forward are?
That our defense has ascended to greatness.
Love it. You got it there. Okay.
And I know some fans can be hard on our defense, but our defense, the defenses that we've seen in the past, our defense is great. Now, they're not elite, but maybe one elite defense in the NFL. I'm very happy with our defense this year.
The Rams have spent, you know, the Chiefs ransom on their defense, and they got dump trucked on Monday Night Football. That might be the third most surprising result this NFL season for me.
It's so much football. Like I it's fun to trash talk in the moment. But if I was a Rams fan, what I would tell myself is, well, when the Bucs signed Antonio Brown last year, that same week is when the Saints trounced them 38-3. So there's so much football left. So you know you can never put too much stock into it. But the trash talk sure is fun, isn't it, Ryan?
It is. It's just the way that they did it, though. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like when we beat the Bucs, Drew was on fire. Like, I think Drew threw 80% in that game. And, like, the offensive line was so good, you know, protecting Drew. And we got the ball out. Troutman had an amazing route where he undressed Levante David and got a touchdown. Yeah. You know, Traquan's wide open.
That's where all the Troutman hype came from was that game. So that's why he had the expectations that he had.
Yeah, and then he did it against Debo, again, the Dome, and against Atlanta. So, like, he's had some plays, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, like, watching the way that San Francisco went up and down the field and, like, guys like Debo, if you had an opportunity to get Debo Samuel on the New Orleans Saints with this roster right now, and knowing what you know about the NFL, I'm telling you right now, the Saints are a Super Bowl favorite. You put Debo on this team, the way that he plays and the passion that he plays with, he's like Marion Barber playing running back at wide receiver.
Debo was actually on my fantasy team, so I know firsthand how great he is.
Oh,
and Ryan, that actually, oh man, like it kind of hurts my heart, like because again, this was supposed to be like a retooling year, right? But I have a strong belief that if Michael Thomas would have took his goddamn ankle rehab seriously, and if Jameis didn't get hurt, because Jameis was really starting to come on,
yeah,
I legitimately think that if like Michael Thomas would have came back around this time and Jameis would have still been healthy, I would have convinced myself, hey, this could be a Super Bowl team. That's what hurts so much about this season. Like, this is supposed to be a quote-unquote throwaway season. And because of how wacky the NFL is, we really probably could have had a shot with Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas being with us and going on a Super Bowl run with how great our defense is. Now, because Jameis and Michael are obviously out for the season, I just can't even convince myself that we could go on a Super Bowl run. But, man, it hurts because, like, I agree with you. Like, you ask somebody of Michael Thomas' skill set, and I think a lot of fans have forgotten how great Michael Thomas is. And you have somebody like Jameis Winston, who was kind of taking that leap under Sean Payton's tutelage. I legitimately think we could have been the Super Bowl. Or we could have made a run. I'm not saying we would have been the favorites, but, you know, we could have been the type of team that
We're in the final four. We're in the final four.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really sucks. I hate injuries. I really do.
And you know what's wild is that everything that's happening, like, ifs are hand grenades, you know what I mean? But what's wild is that with everything that's happened, we're a collapse at home against the New York Giants, and I don't want to say a collapse against Atlanta, because it's not so much a collapse versus just one bad error, you know, at the end of the game by a rookie corner, which I think is actually going to pay dividends, because I think that kid's going to be focused the rest of the year. You're not going to catch him on something like that again the rest of the year, in Paulson and Debo. So,
growing pains, baby. It's growing pains.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, those two games, we're a 7-2 team. We're number one in the NFC. We're number one, or half game back of number one in the NFC. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the wildest thing right now. We would be in the NFC. This isn't like in the NFC South. These are two small collapses, and they're not like we're getting blown out. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not ready to chop it up. I still think that this could be Sean's masterpiece, because once the tournament starts, there's only one team that gets a bye, and injuries hit teams. The Saints have had unbelievable injury luck against their opponents this year. I don't know if you've been noticing. Teams don't have their full complement of players when they're playing the Saints, or guys are banged up. Last week against Tennessee, they got no Derrick Henry. They got no Julio Jones. They've got Bud Dupree going out. You know what I mean? They lost guys in that game. Taylor Lewan went down for a bit. The week before that, Calvin Ridley, you know, he just said, screw it, I'm done playing football for a minute. You know, and then you go back to the weeks, Antonio Brown and the entire secondary in the Bucks week. You know what I mean? Like, we've had some definite injury luck, and I think we got some more next week, which brings me to my next point. What do you think about next week in Philly? This is a must win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
I think, now granted, I can see typical Saints, like, we find a way to beat either Buffalo or Dallas, because that's what the Saints do. They lose to teams like the Falcons and the Giants, but then they beat the Bucks and the Bills and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But I think if we're going to, you know, I keep telling fans, like, I was expecting a 6 or 7 seed all season, so, you know, we can't, you know, be a 6 or 7 seed without losing certain games. But mm-hmm. Philadelphia is a game that you have to win. Like, there's like certain games that I can't. The past, well, Atlanta, I was hard on them, but the Titans game, I was actually pretty chill. So I was like, yeah, you know, they're the number one team in the AFC who has been playing in Tennessee. Like, that's a loss that I look at the schedule and I say, yeah, you know, I can live with that. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, if you are going to be a 6 or 7 team, you gotta win games eventually, right? Like, you can't keep going on this losing streak. So that is one that we need to win. We owe them. They beat us last year. So
I think it'll really be Quan's best game.
I hope we beat them, because then it will make me feel a lot better that if we do lose to the Bills and the Cowboys, who on paper have better teams than us this year, you know, then I'm like, okay, well, we'll still be 6-6 at that point. And then we can still be set up for, you know, like, you know, because, again, a number 6 or 7 team is probably going to be 9-8, 10-7, mm-hmm. maybe even 8-9, knowing how crazy the NFC is. So, but you got to win, like, games against Philadelphia. You got to beat the Jets when they play later this season. You got to get the Falcons back. You got to beat the Panthers. At least one of those two, again, you got to get revenge. Well, like, you got to win those games to, you know, you can't just keep losing games and be like, oh, we'll be okay. Like, eventually you got to get it together. So, as mad, as chill as I was about the Titans game, man, this was, Sean Payton seems to have taken this loss to heart, the most that I've ever seen him take a loss to heart in a while. Since probably 2000 and,
he went after Cat Terrell. He went after Cat Terrell. Right. That was uncalled for.
I feel so bad for her. I think she was caught in the crossfire. So I'm assuming Sean Payne's going to be on a bus this week, and hopefully we come out and play one of our better games and get a much-needed win, because we need it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, like, looking at the schedule, I'm going to be at the Dallas game. I'm flying down for that, and I'm pumped for that. Yeah, so You, if you're down there, man, have a drink. Have a drink with
Hey,
me.
I might be at the, that's a Thursday game, huh?
Yeah,
I keep
Thursday.
thinking it was a Sunday game. I'll probably be at that. I have season tickets, Ryan. I don't know if you know that.
What's that?
I have season tickets.
Oh,
I can't
my
make
man.
every game.
My
I can't
man.
make every game, but I think the baddest game is the one that I couldn't go to the last two games because I have tickets with my brother, and if
Okay.
his job doesn't, if he, because he works weekends sometimes, so if he can't make the games, then we just give them to other Saints fans. But
Yeah.
and I don't know if I'm doing a Bills game because it's Thanksgiving. I would rather just watch the game,
Yeah,
eat
but
some
the fam.
turkey, and fall
Yeah,
asleep after. But
yeah. Yeah.
I should be at the Cowboys game, so
All right,
that's the usual from there. And
we'll link up for sure. We'll
yeah, I
link up for
usually
sure.
do my blogs during the game, so you can be on the John Vaughn's YouTube channel.
There you
Look how
go. There
special
you
you are,
go.
right?
There you go. There you go. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, but I look at the schedule and I think about the Bills game. The Bills game on a short week, I think, is going to be an L. And if it's a win, it's going to be one of those grinded out ugly, 13-10 wins that we've had against the Cowboys previously. Those kind of a
I'll take
game.
it.
And
I'll
I would
take it.
I'll take any W right now. But I think we beat Philly. I think we lose to Buffalo on a short week and then kind of look past Buffalo to get ready for Dallas because that's going to be our barometer test, right? That's going to be the litmus test. Because if we get that W, well, now we're 7-5, right? So we're 7-5 after the hardest stretch we had left in the season. And then we get Miami. I think that's a cakewalk. That's an awful team. We get the Jets. It's another bad football team. We get to repay Atlanta in Atlanta. I don't see how we lose that. And then we get to repay Carolina back in the dome. And I think Carolina's actually worse bringing Cam Newton back because the way he locates that ball and how high he throws it, that could be a 3 or 4 pick game the way our defense is playing. You know what I mean? Cam misses high. You can't miss high against us because our guys like Marcus Williams is not a bad safety. He's a top three safety in the NFL. If you think about this, our defense is stacked. Marcus Davenport is one of the most unknown edges in the NFL. And you watch what he does in the fourth quarter and crunch time of games. If we can get that for 4 quarters, this kid's stats, he's on the same trajectory as guys like TJ Watt. I know that sounds ridiculous, but just hear me out. What does TJ Watt do? His motor goes the entire game. He does not stop. So in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, he's wearing these guys down, and then he breaks through, and he's also really talented, but his motor doesn't stop. I think Marcus Davenport takes a couple plays off here and there. He doesn't have a motor where he can go, foot to the pedal to the floor and do that for 4 quarters. But in the fourth quarter, he's doing it. So if I think that's the next development for Marcus Davenport. The first was him getting healthy and staying healthy. Now he's playing well in moments, and I think the next moment for him is to be a star, is to be able to, stay healthy and do it for 4 quarters. Not
I
just in the
fully
fourth quarter.
agree. I fully agree. I pray that he stays healthy because he makes our defense so much better.
Yeah, like Marshawn Lattimore, DeMario Davis. I think those guys are both top three, top four guys at their position in the NFL. David Onyemata is a top 5-3 technique in the NFL. Marcus Williams is a top 5 safety. Like we've got studs at all over the defense. And I don't know what Sean's doing right now. And this goes into the Philly game for me. I think that this is going to be Kwon's best game of the year because Kwon knows that loss was on him and Trey Hendrickson last year. Those are the two guys. I'm not interested in hearing about anything else that happened in the game. Those two guys let us down. The game was within the balance, and they both flubbed. Trey Hendrickson looked like he was drinking the night before and didn't sleep, and he had zero motor. That was his worst game as a Saint. I've never seen Trey Hendrickson look that bad in a game. Do you know what I mean? And like it was just he had no gap control, no gap integrity. He looked like Hurts was Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? And it was just awful. And then the angle that Kwon took on the Miles Sanders 82-yard touchdown was just him trying to make a play, and I get it, but that just can't happen in a close game like that. So I think those guys both, I think, sorry, Kwon comes prepared to play, and that takes away from Pete Warner, which is kind of like, it's crappy for him because I'm starting to become a big fan of Pete Warner. He's a lunch pail guy. I don't know if he reminds you, I guess because he's a white guy, so I always do the same thing in my head, where I conflate these players together, but
Are you gonna say Luke Kuechly?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, and just he just
I'm
got that
just looking. I'm like,
intelligence.
who was the last great white linebacker? Oh, Luke Kuechly. That's what people want to remind me
But
of.
doesn't he seem to kind of have that
He's
potential?
definitely showing flashes. Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely.
And so I think we got a good one there. But I think in that game, I think we're gonna see the pass catchers get some opportunities, and I think we ride Mark again. I don't think Alvin's gonna play. I just have I have a feeling he's not
Yeah,
going to
no,
play.
I think, like I said, it's a 17-game season, so I'm cool with. I mean, I know fans are going to panic tomorrow when they see the injury report and you're going to see Elvin Kamara did not practice, but it's a 17-game season, man. We need that guy. If we want to have any shot at a run in the playoffs, we need that guy for December. So
Yeah.
sit him now, and you got to, find a way. Find a way.
And you think about it, if he sits this game and he plays against Buffalo on that short week, we have a healthy, rested Alvin Kamara, going
Right.
into that game. So, yeah, I think the Saints win that game. I think it's actually going to be a blowout. I think we win by double digits.
Oh, that would be, that's music to my ears.
I got like a 28, 28-17 type game, and I think they score a touchdown late in the game when it doesn't matter. And I think we actually score on defense because there's so many turnover-worthy plays that the Philadelphia Eagles put on tape, and they got so lucky last week. Everything went their way in that Broncos game, like penalties for Denver on holds that I couldn't see. I got Javonte Williams in my fantasy, and the guy scored twice, and there was holds on both plays, and I couldn't see either of them. So it drove me nuts, just being like, these refs, they kill everybody. But
It shows, Ryan. It's a week-to-week league because 2 weeks ago the Broncos are running Dallas out the stadium. Then the next week they're struggling against the Eagles. So it just shows you how wild this season has been. So yeah, I'm hoping that since Philly had big, great, everything went right for them week last week, that now they'll have their everything's going wrong for us week this week against us because we're due for one. I hope. I
Yeah, man.
hope.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what? Obviously, people come on. They got their own time. They got things going on. You're doing a ton of stuff. So, I really am fortunate that you came onto the podcast today. Do you want to plug all your stuff on there? I know you got some stuff earlier on your YouTube channel, at the beginning of the podcast. But you want to tell the people where you're at? Twitter, YouTube, all them things.
Well, Ryan, it was a pleasure to be on your show. And yes, you guys can find me at YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter. It's all the same. It's Jono Barnes, Jonobarnes. I'll tell fans right now what my content aims to do is win or lose, I just try to bring a smile to Saints fans' faces. And if not a smile, at least a chuckle. Just like maybe a little smirk, Because like I said, not all my stuff are going to be first round draft picks, but hopefully if I can bring you like a little chuckle or a smirk or best case scenario, like some diehard laughs, then that hopefully makes your day a little bit better win or lose after a Saints game. So again, youtube.com, twitter.com/JonoBarnes to find all my great stuff. I actually have a skit. It's a can people see it just that I have something coming out tomorrow. So hopefully fans enjoy my content.
The last one with the referee drinking the giant bottle of baby duck.
That I did that
That
one literally right after the game. I said, let me do this now while it's still fresh in
But
my mind.
it's funny, but it's also true. It's like, oh, you're still gonna buy the merchandise? You still gonna watch? All right, then, put the shades
Yeah, you
on.
know that. What they said, Ryan, a lot of truth is said in jest, and that's what the NFL always promises to say. So fans complain about the rest, they're like, yeah, okay, see you next Sunday.
Exactly. It's like they peddle in an illegal substance to somebody called, it rhymes with blackhead,
Ryan, I'll say this before we get off. I love your optimism. I tell myself this, and it sounded a lot better when I actually thought we were going to have Jameis and Michael Thomas for the stretch run. But I do say that, it would be peak New Orleans Saints to like actually go on a title run the year that nobody expects us to go on a title run, where the last 4 years we actually had like these borderline elite teams to win a championship, and then the year where we have like Trevor Siemian and Kevin White as our top skill players. That's the year that we look back in history and say, wow, that's the year we actually won it all. So that's what I tell myself whenever I want to be like optimistic of optimism. But your optimism is great, Ryan, and not only your optimism but your football knowledge. So
Oh.
this was a great conversation.
I appreciate it, man. This is a lot of fun. And when the Dallas game happens, I'll bring my laptop with me. Maybe we have some fun after the game, because I know it's gonna be a W. I just know it's gonna be a W. I just listen.
All
I'm
right,
telling you.
hey,
I'm telling you. Marshawn Lattimore. Let's just talk about this for 30 seconds before we get out of here. Marshawn Lattimore. When does he get up? Big moments. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. Oh, he's in for that. Bradley Roby. He plays really well against Amari Cooper. I'm just letting you know that.
Yeah,
That
you're
is
saying it
a.
on the record, so we will see. You putting it out there. I like that.
I'm
You're
putting it
taking a
out there.
bold stance. I like it. I love it. I
I
love
love
it.
it. I love it. I love it. All right, my man. So, yeah, we'll try and get you back on it. Thank you so much for coming through, Jay. And again, people check his stuff out. It is unbelievably hilarious and also true. So it's good. Give me a giggle.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
man.
Shout out to all the Ryans in the world with two eyes. You guys are all special people.
All one of us. All one of us. I'm a man. Who that?
All one of you guys. Who that, Ryan? Ryan, I appreciate it, my man. Thank you so much for having me on.